Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, after 10 albums, acting roles, a stage play and a slew of awards, Damien Dempsey is fast approaching National Treasure territory. A new album is coming later in the year, and in the meantime, he'll be appearing at the Ivy Gardens on the 19th and 20th of this month. Damien, good afternoon.
How you doing, Sean?
Hollywell Crescent in Donaghmead. Yeah. Just on the street you grew up in.
Yeah.
How many people got record deals on that street?
Three of us. Derek Herbert and a band called Les Enfants in the 80s, and then Sean Mulrooney in the 90s, I think it was, with Hugh Manzi, and I got one down with Sony myself. So three of us. So Lear, a band called Lear, with the back of us, back of my house, you know.
Yeah.
So four record deals, basically.
What was going on there?
It must be something in the water. Holywell. Yeah. There was a Holywell there that they concreted over it, you know.
Yeah. But would you have grown up? Would it have been very... Because I suppose Bob Marley was a huge thing when you were growing up.
Bob Marley was a huge singer now. Yeah, yeah. He was huge. And the Madness and the Ska thing and all was huge. The Specials and, you know.
Yeah. So then, how come you're not a Ska head then?
If you hear some of my old stuff, there's sort of reggae tinge in it, you know.
Yeah.
Songs like Negative Vibes, you'll hear a bit of reggae in there.
Yeah.
And I just love Bob Marley's message of positivity, you know, and fighting the man, you know.
Yeah.
For the greater good. And I love soul singers like Marley and Sinead O'Connor and Christy Moore, you know, people who were sort of, you know, were just trying to make the world a bit of a fairer place.
Yeah. So, I suppose then a lot of those people you mentioned are kind of soulful anyway.
Yeah.
In that respect.
They're soul singers, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And so when you were a young fella, you were kind of like up in the bedroom writing songs and not telling anyone about it, or?
Yeah, you'd be getting slagged, like, you know, by your mates and your family, like, because, you know, some of the songs were quite, they weren't great, like, they were pretty shite, you know.
Yeah.
But, so the more you wrote, you know, the better you got, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I have 16 songs coming out now on a double album in October. And they're dealing with, they're dealing with the housing crisis, they're dealing with cocaine epidemic, and they're dealing with grief. I lost my father there a while ago. And dealing with women's rights, and there's a broad spectrum, I suppose, you know. But, and I'm reading a book called The Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and they're talking about how to try and stay joyful and grateful when madness is going on around you, you know. So the album is called Hold Your Joy.
Right, okay, so because, the last thing I'd read, you hadn't thought of a name for it yet.
Yeah, Hold Your Joy. Yeah.
So is that a scoop we have then, Hold Your Joy? Right, okay, that's good. So how do you do that? How do you, because a lot of your material is dealing with tough stuff a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So how do you, when you're burrowing into those subjects, how do you hold your joy?
Walk and meditation, swimming the sea, playing an instrument, singing. There's loads of things that you have to focus. It's you know, you have to put the phones down and focus, you know, and when you focus, it's meditative, and, you know, it'll make you feel better, you know, about everything.
Yeah.
You have to focus when you sing a song, you know, you have to try and stay in time and nearly in key, you know.
But I'd read that. Now I read that you were a perfectionist, but you produced 11 albums, so you know, and that held you up in your production of music. But obviously, that wasn't the case. Or would you say you're a perfectionist?
In the studio, I'm fairly. I wanted to be right now, you know.
Yeah.
But I want the lyrics that's going to help people, sort of give them a lift, give them some hope, you know.
Yeah.
Some positivity and a few answers, you know, just give people a bit of a. It's the music. I've never had a hit, John, you know, but it's the music is more about healing.
Yeah.
You know, than making things. It's.
But when you're in the studio, though, can you go in with a song? Is the song fully formed when you go in, or can you go, oh God, this is rubbish, or decide it's better than you thought it was?
It's usually John Reynolds is my producer. He plays drums with me as well. He was married to Sinead O'Connor, you know. He was. Poor drummer for many years and wrote songs for her and produced her albums. And so he'll tell me, you know, if the song is rubbish, he'll just go, no. You know.
Is that the word he'll use?
He'll just say, have you anything else? I say, yeah, I have 10 more songs. So.
And so will you always take that or can you resist it?
Usually. He's a fresh pair of ears and he sort of has a good insight. Is this going to move people? Is it going to, you know, make people feel something.
Yeah. You know? After your first album, though, and you went to live in New York for a few years.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? Were you giving up a bit, or were you kind of thinking, I have to rethink this?
Yeah, it just wasn't going well here. People were sort of slagging me off on that, you know. I came out at the same time as Dustin the Turkey was in the chart, so they thought, they were asking me, are you Dustin Damo? Is that you? I said, no. But I was getting a lot of stick off critics and all, you know. And people weren't taking me seriously. They thought it was a gimmick or something, because I had a reggae tinge and singing in my own Dublin accent. And the more people that say don't sing in that accent, you know, it doesn't sound right, the more they put the accent on. So I was sort of, it wasn't going well. So I just thought, let me take a break, you know. And I went to New York and people seemed to give me more respect there for some reason.
Yeah. They did. Well, yeah, and but you continued to sing when you were
in New York.
Yeah,
I was working in the bar and singing in the bar as well, you know, singing. Yeah. I'd have a night, like, I'd sing all my own songs. And
yeah.
I got some of my big songs now. It's All Good I got from New York, and the apple of my eye I got in New York, you know, so it was worth going.
Yeah, so then when you came back, were you still facing the same problems in that?
Yeah.
Stop singing in that accent.
I was, yeah. But the Magical Hot House Flowers, they've took me on tour with them, you know. Liam O'Mahony had heard me and he was interested by me, and I went on a UK tour with them, and then I was down in London and I met John Reynolds, you know, at a party through Brona Gallagher, actually. The great Brona. And then John just heard me singing a few songs. He said, you have to come over to my flat and record, you know. And the next thing, he gave me a CD, and Brian Eno was on it, and Sinead O'Connor was singing on it. I think that was the second album, and that's when people started taking me seriously.
Yeah, and then Sinead brought you out on tour.
Yes,
with her.
Indeed, yeah.
You also supported Morrissey.
Supported Morrissey around America, yeah.
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 I wouldn't have put the two of you together, given, you know.
Yeah, he was amazing. His live show was incredible.
Yeah. What kind of a chap is he?
He's very funny, very dry. Yeah. Very dry.
Yeah.
A bit like Oscar Wilde or something, you know.
Mm. Very dry. Like, say, politically, the two of you mightn't be kind of... simpatico.
Yeah, I don't know about that now.
You do.
Yeah, I don't know. I just stay over, you know.
Do you, like, but as a songwriter, and this is a kind of a general cultural thing, do you have to sometimes second guess yourself as to what you think you can and you can't say?
It's hard nowadays, because you can say the wrong thing and everyone jumps in you, like, and batters you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, I just stay off social media. I just, try and get out into the woods and
yeah.
Light a fire and that's get into the sea or something, you know.
Yeah, and stay away from that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just go down to the local and all the old guys, you know, just listen to them.
Yeah.
Having the crack slagging.
Is that like, you still go to the local in Donaghmead?
It's gone now, the Donaghmead Inn's gone. So,
but, oh, is it?
Or, yeah.
But it's in the kind of the shopping centre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone. It's some licensing problem or something, you know, which is a shame.
Oh.
So I just go to another place that has, you know, lots of old people. I feel like a spring chicken in there, you know.
Yeah.
They're all in their 70s and they're great fun.
Yeah.
And they don't care who we are, you know. They don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
You know.
But an awful lot of people who could go to your gigs have described it as like there's kind of an emotional catharsis for them. That, you know, it's more than just going along and singing along to your songs or and the usual gig experience.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a responsibility on you then.
No,
like a therapist.
Yeah, they say, like, lots of people come up to me and say, you know, their music really helped me through this time or saved me life. And I say it wasn't me. These songs, I don't really write them. They come through me from a good place. I don't know where that is, but thank the good place, I say to them, you know.
Yeah. So, say you mentioned that on Hold Your Joy, there's songs about feminism, the songs about the housing crisis.
Yeah.
These are things in the ether. So are you thinking to yourself, I want to write something about that issue?
Yeah, I think people like to hear something. They expect sort of a story from me, you know.
Yeah.
They expect, like, songs with stories and, you know, imagery and, you know, not just the run-of-the-mill love songs. You know, that doesn't really come out of me, you know.
Yeah. So where do you get the stories from? And are they, say if you're writing a story about the housing crisis,
yeah.
are these real stories you would have heard?
It's just things that upset you, you know, that you feel is a wrong is being done when working people can't afford a home, you know. It's things that get under me skin. It's like scratching an itch then writing a song about them, you know.
Yeah. Though the kind of irony is that you're writing it
you're writing stories perhaps about certain socioeconomic groups.
Yeah.
And you're telling those stories on a stage and half the audience are from Dalkey.
Yeah. I think even people from Dalkey are struggling to get somewhere to live. Yeah.
You could write a song about, you know, it's hard to find a second place, a place to park the second car. Damien Dempsey will be performing at the Ivy Gardens on Friday the 19th and Saturday the 20th of July later on this month. Obviously, the name of that new album that's coming out in December, did you say, Damien?
It's coming out in October.
October, right. Nice. Hold Your Joy. Look out for that. Damien Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thanks very much, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.